Welcome to the 2013 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Melissa Campanelli, Editor-in-Chief, Retail Online Integration, and I'm pleased to welcome you to our closing keynote session titled Making Savvy Mobile Investments, sponsored by Avalara. Shoppers today are highly mobile, but unfortunately, a vast majority of retail brands have yet to make mobile a priority. As a result, they're forced to play catch-up. To keep up with today's growing mobile expectations, retailers have to put more and more of an emphasis on their mobile websites and apps, as well as integrating their mobile strategy into their broader business strategies. But where do retailers start? How do they decide which mobile investments to make? And how should they tackle mobile-optimized websites or apps or venture into larger strategy? To answer some of these questions, today we have Chris Mason, founder of Branding Brand, a mobile agency that creates mobile websites and apps for leading retailers, who's going to walk you through an overview of mobile options, how to decide which mobile investments work for your company, how to create a plan to integrate mobile into your ongoing business strategy. Before we get started, however, let me review some technical pointers. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the session, but you can send them in at any time. And please make sure to turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the features on the console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn more about the console you're viewing on right now. Finally, if you'd like to view this session again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show later today. We'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months beginning on Monday, July 22nd. So watch your email for more details on that. So without further ado, let me present to you our speaker, Chris Mason. Take it away, Chris.
Thank you so much, Melissa. I appreciate the introduction. And thank you, everybody, for attending. Before we get started, I thought I'd tell everybody a little bit more about Branding Brand. Branding Brand is a mobile commerce platform. We have over 50 clients in the internet retailer top 500. We are a leader in the space in providing solutions for retailers. They look at mobile, being mobile ready for not only their online properties, but also in store. So what I'm looking to cover in this presentation, of course, is not Branding Brand, but moreover, how you go about looking at mobile. And the best way to do that, in my mind, is to look at it from a perspective of past, present, and future. So that is the idea of looking at the questions of where are we from a mobile perspective, where were we, where are we now, and where are we going? So let's talk about the past. Talk about the past. Think about the phone that you had back in 2009. In 2009, I owned a BlackBerry. In fact, I wasn't alone. Of those that had devices on the market, BlackBerry had a dominant market share at 44%. Back then, Apple just had previously, the year before, put the iPhone on the market. It was really gaining. And 27% of the devices in the market were Apple devices, and you had a small amount of Androids that were just starting to creep into market. What's more is to look at what was occurring in terms of visits to sites. BlackBerry's dominant device, I had one. When it came to visits on e-commerce sites, 80% of them were coming from either iPhones or iPods. For us, at this time, this was a climactic event because it showed that when you have a good web browser, when the experience can be good to get into retail on alternate devices other than desktop, if you build it, they came. And what we noticed is that for those 2% of people that were actually visiting these sites, they were transacting. So this pain point, the friction that you'd experience on that smaller screen that you can see to the left of that BlackBerry device and that less web-enabled experience, for those that are technical and know about it, the idea of having a non-JavaScript-enabled browser was really degrading the quality of experience. So what you saw at the time was a lot of people saying, okay, mobile's getting big, this is in 2009, what do we do? And you had this frenzy occurring at the same time where people were like, why is mobile big? Not the BlackBerry devices, which were on the market and doing their thing. It was because of the Apple devices. And Apple was saying to everybody, there's an app for that. There's an app for that is a philosophy that still carries on to this day. But back then, many companies would hear from their CEO, I just saw this commercial from Apple, and they say that you should have an app for that. I think I should get an app for that too. Why don't we build an app for our business? No mobile presence, but they were deep diving into the idea of developing the, one of the hardest touch points to the loyal consumer, the app, at that time. Of course, when you jump into anything without knowing, you have an opportunity to fail. And we would see that many of those that tried to launch apps at the time would have experiences that were just built up overnight by providers of the past that aren't here now that bring these fledgling experiences to life. Frustrated, retailers would start wondering, how do I have an app? How do I have a site? And HTML5 comes to play. The fact that HTML5, which is basically the idea of through your web browser unlocking a lot of the experiences you can get only out of an app thought before, became this panacea. Everything should be HTML5. We ourselves at that time thought HTML5 could potentially solve all problems. Everybody thought this. But just like with all things, anything that promises to do all, that doesn't work out. And it was only about a year ago that we had this slide here with Mark Zuckerberg and TechCrunch saying that they thought too much of HTML5. It was a mistake to fully invest in and not look into native. The truth is that your consumers who come in through the web are those that are passing visitors, and what apps are for loyalists, and there is a reason to go native. We don't need to go into all those details now, but that was one of the most important and early touch points to complexity that exists in mobile that will help to shape this presentation. Let's talk about where devices are now in the present. And if you look at this image here, it's from the show Portlandia. And if you've ever seen that skit, it basically, in this particular skit, they're covering the fact that there's this multitude of devices on the market. They're all sending push notifications, texts, you're sending messages back. All these devices, all this communication, all this opportunity, what do you do with it? We're all trying to manage this greater complexity. What device do I own today? I own an iPhone. I'm not alone in that cause. But even though there's 33% of the devices on the market right now are iPhones, the fact is that 52% of the devices on the market are Androids. Now BlackBerry has a smaller share. The only thing that's very consistent between yesterday and today is that Apple still does not have the dominant amount of devices. BlackBerry did, and now it's Android. But the fact is Apple devices still hold the majority of visits. Even with this massive amount of Android devices on the market, the majority of the visits, the majority of the dollars still come from actually the iOS devices. And that's important in terms of how you're shaping your strategy. It's important to understand where you'd want to launch your app first and where you know that the dollar spend will incrementally move your business. To look at this at a different level, mobile's no longer the sliver. We were talking before about that 2% of traffic. It's now everything. What we're finding is that there's a steady decline of traffic that continues to happen as a total share of non-mobile devices, while there's that steady uptick of mobile devices. What's more, the definition of mobile has increasingly become complex since 2009 with the launch of the iPad and tablet devices subsequently from other providers, everything from the Kindles to the Android devices. When you look at this next slide, we're now impacting it in two ways. We're saying that mobile is those smartphones, but it's also those tablet devices. Look how the trend compounds. You already had this climactic shift of growth rate and degradation rate of devices in terms of the total share. So what that shows to you is that for your business, this trend is a real concern for now, and it's only within the next year that you could be totally out of touch with your audience. We actually have clients right now that mobile accounts for over 50% of their traffic, and those same clients can experience over 34% to 40% of their revenue coming from those mobile users, that smartphones and tablets. We're at that point now where you have to start wondering, where is it all going, and where does my dollar spend need to occur, and when do we stop thinking desktop first and everything else second? So on this next slide, we're showing you the information cut another way. I love doing these kind of things in terms of cutting the information a different way. Because what it highlights to you is that smartphone market share in terms of devices on the market, what we're dealing with in terms of the visits and that market share is that smartphones have gone up from 13% last year to now 21% this year. Let's look at tablets. Correspondingly, they're at that 13% point this year, same place that you saw smartphones the year before. Not a big leap to imagine they can grow it the same way the smartphone did in terms of a total share just from the next year. And this is for all of our clients. This is our internal data at Branding Brand from looking at over 200 deployed sites and apps. So this is what we're seeing across our client base. And on a different level, let's talk about this on a revenue share. This is where it gets complicated because we can all agree that smartphones have more aggregate share of visits, but the problem is that the tablets already have more aggregate share of the dollars. So one's winning on the visits, the other's winning on the dollars. Where do you invest? Where is it the case that it makes more sense to put in a tablet? Do you follow the money or the visit? I think anybody's boss in e-com would say follow the money. This is where the information in this next slide, this year-over-year growth, shows how the growth rates are a really helpful deciding factor. If you look at that growth rate for smartphones, it's at a much faster rate. And even though that the revenue is not there, we also all know that there's the fact that mobile is not about just impacting dollars in that channel. The fact is that there's estimated by 2016, over $600 billion of in-store sales that will be impacted by mobile devices. See, unlike the tablet, which is about that sedentary moment where you're having like that couch commerce, the mobile device touches everything. And what we're really talking about is spend and decision-making that needs to occur across a multitude of decisions. That geolocation of that experience when you're in store for mobile should be unique to that store presence and guiding that experience versus away from store or on the way to store, that buy online, pick up in the store experience. So to move forward from that point, the next thing I want to talk about is just the increases that we are also seeing during the holiday season. What we're seeing is that just over the last year, on Black Friday or Thanksgiving or moreover, the Sunday leading into Cyber Monday, we have seen massive growth of sales through those mobile device channels. It's going to happen again this year, and retailers need to be ready for something that's occurred just over the next few months. But let's not talk about the next few months. To wrap up this discussion of past, present, future, in the future, what are we talking about? We have this idea of peripheral devices. How these devices, the system of devices speaking to devices, the network of things, how that's unfolding. The fact is that these mobile devices that we're discussing, I don't know if anybody out there is listening and has a Nike Fuel Band or has a Nest, or I actually have pretty much all these devices as accessible to myself. Those devices communicate in a variety of ways with your smartphone, and that's really changed the retail experience as well and where you need to dedicate your spend. In terms of how we're conducting mobile strategy, how should this unfold with this review of past, present, and future? Well, the fact is that your strategy has two key questions to it. What is the state of mobile retail today, and what should retailers do to position themselves for success? Just basically getting on the ground roots level. Well, if you look at it from a dollar-for-dollar level, mobile versus retail versus e-com, definitely the focus is the stores, right? You're going to still see in the future the majority of your dollars coming from your stores. Mobile is your growth rate of visit experience. And as we just discussed a moment ago, what we see is that the influence of store sales from mobile devices will only continue to grow. The best place to spend your dollars in mobile is not to satisfy that sliver of sales from e-com, but to view mobile as part of a continuum to satisfy a better in-store experience. Let's face it, as retailers, we all have our organizational challenges. We all face the fact that there's two different teams with two different set of KPIs, and they're both supposed to deliver on their different goals. But it's those that will reorg or create incentives that are across the org so that you can have a better retail experience in-store and credit the online experience that are going to win this challenge fast. And you're finding that those online brands that are actually being able to do the most impacting change of org fastest. We're seeing how groups like Bonobos, Warby Parker, et cetera, are creating these cutting-edge retail experiences, Rent the Runway also, for example, where they're able to look at the sale as valued across that one omni-channel experience rather than I need to credit this sale to my channel and we're separate and almost in a way with this new consumer orientation competing. To sum up these trends, you can see in the following way. Mobile platforms will act as a catalyst for the next generation connected experiences. Tablet commerce will outpace mobile commerce, but this comparison is irrelevant. The fact is, store sales matter, mobile matters for touching all touch points. It's not an apples for apples thing. Sophisticated analytics wrapped around big data will power the next generation of smart apps. And what I mean by that is that this concept of how you unfold that experience for your on that mobile device is impacted by geolocation. Geolocation is weather. Geolocation is time of day. Geolocation is your store versus where the customer is. The experience has to differ based off where they are. It has to be increasingly intuitive. You have to have an understanding that it's going to be raining in SoHo and it's time to sell galoshes. These are the retailers that will be able to really take the embrace of sharing of data. And the fact that this device, unlike a computer, is extremely sensitive to location and state and take it to the next level of experience. Mobile also play a leading role in engaging consumers in emerging markets. This mobile philosophy, this idea of launching first or mobile first philosophy is really what's at heart to the idea of where everything needs to go. You know, we have a couple of clients that just recently launched their experiences in Asia. One in Japan, they don't even have a desktop experience. They're not even trying to figure it out right now. We launched their mobile site and apps, and for tablet and smartphone, they're out in the market now. And the idea of doing anything special for desktop is on their back burner. Now, those traffic trends there are far different from the space. As we all know, Japan's always been ahead on mobile device market share. But if anything, that should act as a canary in the mine to how we all think here. Further with these trends, we have to think about the fact that we have to replace our legacy store IP. If things are not mobile ready, get them off the table and dedicate the spend. And I realize it's easier to say these things than to do them, but let's face it, if you have a POS system that has no ability to tie into a CRM system, if the number one way you access loyalty is to say, what's your phone number, and you know they have their phone right next to you, you have to get connected better. The experience has to be seamless. That is what brands are about. That's what retailers are about. That's what made retail so successful, is that they can actually evolve a technology usually better than consumer. Now the consumer, for the first time ever, is coming to you with a computer and having more access to information and able to do more capabilities than a retailer. That equation has to be, at least in summary, an even experience where both have the same access to information, and ideally one where the retailer is offering a better, more informed experience than the consumer could ever get through more enhanced technology, so it gives them a reason to show up. Also, mobile will require more spend than desktop and not deliver on those dollars overnight. Yes, the majority of sales for the next few years will come through those desktop devices, but it's very easy to see that if you focus more on desktop than on mobile, you will be cutting yourself off from your future. And this is one of those things that we're going to see unfold so fast, where those that decided to invest now will be the brands of the future. And that's why we're seeing such a dramatic shift in things like the IR 500, the Internet Retailer Top 500, that there's literally, I think, 60 new brands that just showed up within the last year. A lot of them are these new cutting-edge brands. You have these brands such as the Fab.com of the world, the Nasty Gals, companies such as No More Rack that are just really changing this experience. It will also inform retailers on how to manage spend as they will grow, as well as grow revenue. This management of spend, think about the fact that your associates will have these mobile devices in hand. You'll be able to have up-to-the-date, up-to-the-minute reports on everything, including what they're doing in the store. Are they keeping busy? Their accelerometer on their device will let you know that. We're going to live in a more informed time period than ever before, and it's necessary to order around that information flow. So how does this unfold in store from a consumer experience side? The very first one is the endless aisle. You can buy on your phone what you can't see here. This is something you should be doing now. This is where to focus, not the self-checkout, cool, cutting-edge Apple experience. The endless aisle is something that you can deliver on that promise now for your customers, whether through it's a smart, it's in a website or an app. And it's something that lets you set yourself up for the next phase, which is the idea of how to manage that in-aisle checkout from an associate or a richer clienteling experience. You look at that data, and you're able to evolve on it. So that, in summary, is how I'm talking about looking at mobile. Again, it's the idea of put your focus on the smartphone, find out how to increase its presence in store. The very first thing to do is to take the endless aisle experience and bring that into store. You have to think as an old mobile first and not desktop down. Furthermore, you have to need to start tracking performance across a multitude of channels and take a bigger embrace of analytics and expect that the most important products are those that embrace big data. You need to test and tweak and iterate. You have to allow yourself to fail as you're trying to evolve across all these different channels. It's the only way to make for a better org. You got to give it 110%, and that means you're failing 10% of the time. You also need to find strong partners. The last thing to this is, and it's not to be played down anyway, is the idea of you have to live it. I cannot insist more that unless you're buying majority of your products, even if it's from competitors, because you don't have an app yourself, off mobile devices, you're not going to get it. It's those that actually purchase on mobile devices, even in our own company, that seem to get it most and understand what are the pain points that need to be solved for the next generation of consumers. Thanks so much for listening. And with that, I'll hand it over to Q&A. And Melissa.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Chris. That was a great presentation. You really looked at the important trends and I'm sure helped a lot of our listeners with understanding where to go when it comes to mobile. So I really appreciate that. We have time for some questions. We have about 15 minutes or so for questions. So I really encourage anyone that's listening to, ask a question. While we're waiting for them, though, I have a few questions, if you don't mind, Chris. The first one is around, you talked a lot about the Warby Parkers and the Bonobos of the world. What about, how can a larger brand, a more traditional retail brand, compete with these sort of flexible companies that kind of come in, from a mobile perspective, that kind of come in, ready to hit the mobile customer, right away? I mean, how can you give any advice for the companies that are going to be sort of more of the legacy type companies?
That's a great question, and I think the best way to view it is actually just to do what Google does in terms of setting up market strategies, or even more than Google, what Google took the playbook from, which is actually going back to the company Boeing and the idea of doing skunk works. The idea being that, like, you would try something really quick, and if it didn't work, if it stinks, you throw it out. The skunk works philosophy of give it a shot and move on, this idea of iterating, is really central to what the big retailer needs to do to succeed in today's world. What Google is doing now is that they'll test things in small markets. They'll give it a trial here, they'll give it a trial there, and see what the consumer adoption is in that market. Retailers are used to doing this from a merchandising level and many different things. But it has to be the kind of thing where instead of a special ops team has to flow down directly from the C-level to the stores level, there has to be a skunkworks team, those that are given special access to do things with trial and error and innovate. And you have to try, I think, first by just solving the basic pain point of endless aisle. Your consumer is looking to buy stuff from you. Those Steve Madden shoes are not available in their size in the store. They should be able to buy in that moment them and have them shipped to their house. Get around that problem, and you'll notice that those dollars incrementally will grow in the org, and then you can justify better spend in mobile. So you don't have to be as mobile, as nimble as these brands. Use to leverage the fact that just a few stores for your are as meaningful as the idea of all the stores Bonobos has. Make it so that you can actually use those small team within your group that doesn't have the same interdependencies as a traditional org to do skunk works, to try and fail. Mm-hmm. That's what my advice is.
Great. Let's see. Another listener was wondering about testing compatibility with all these mobile devices. I think this person asked this question earlier. So how do you go about testing to make sure that your website works on all these devices? On the
Great
smartphone, question. on the Android, all of that, without taking your whole, your entire business day.
Well, that's a great question. So there's a few things that you have to think about. One is internal feedback. We all have our traditional QA team. There's that going great. I really do believe in services, third party. One of them that comes to mind is UTest as being a great partner to give you that chance to crowdsource better opinion from those before launch. The most important part, though, of any good mobile strategy is that feedback button. It's a big, fat one that has to be at the bottom of the page to ask people for their opinion. Let's think about it. Look, the reason Wikipedia is now more accurate than an encyclopedia is because everyone was able to contribute. You have to let your audience help you in this way. And I'd say that another thing org's got to get used to is the idea of the A-B test for limited audience share. When it comes to mobile, I know everybody's A-B testing now in general, but don't make it a climactic launch. Soft launch, soft launch, soft launch. Let a small amount of your traffic come through there. See what the feedback is. See how that data susses out. And use reports like the ones that we've released to be able to say, okay, my conversion's like this. This is my share of revenue that's coming from iOS devices. And it gives you a chance to kind of comp your sales against what others are doing and visit.
That's great advice, definitely. Okay, another listener was I think this is what she's asking. I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, I don't know if you have any stats on this or anything, but do you feel that most consumers, you know, will leave a site entirely if your site is not properly formatted on a phone? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they could read it, I guess is what she's saying. They could sort of read it, but it's not scaled properly. Is that really something that would turn someone off so much that they would not, you know, from a customer retention, I guess, standpoint?
Well, I think that's a great question. So first, you can have no mobile site and still make dollars. And something we always emphasize to our clients is you can also launch a mobile site and lose dollars. We've seen companies that went with other solution types and they launched with mobile, and the next thing you know, they're like, why are we losing money? I thought the mobile orientation would make it better. A really great way to check to see if your mobile experience is up to par is to look at how often people are pressing the full site button, how often they're converting to that full site experience to actually go to the shopping cart. That's a very good canary in the mine to understand that. But to go directly to that question, look, if you think that you can keep doing that for the next 3 years and your audience will still be happy, I don't think that makes sense. Some sites render better on mobile devices than others. But let's think about it. I was just at there's kids that are 12 years old that in a few years will be 15 and might be in your target audience. You ask those 12-year-olds what sites they go to, what brands they like, you'll see that every single brand is a mobile one. And if you ask them, to go check out a site or to do something with a certain brand, for any brand they like, they'll see if there's an app for Under Armour, or they'll see if there's a mobile site that they can go to for Under Armour really quick. But they're not going to actually go to the desktop device. For them, that's where homework's done. They've grown up playing Angry Birds right there on their phone. This is how they think. It's a different world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a step down. It's a step up. So
right.
It's basically where you need to go just to have impactful strategy for the years to come, which is what this is about.
Yep. That's a good point. Okay, another question's come in, and this is about video. Do you feel that the download speeds on mobile are making video more acceptable as a marketing, you know, tool for retailers than when most desktops were using dial-up connections?
Yes, that's a great question. So I think that speed in general is – not only on mobile devices, but across all devices, will continue to go faster. Currently on mobile, you definitely can enjoy rich video. I watch HBO to go all the time on my phone, and it's just that streaming video. You can do the same thing with Netflix, et cetera. For companies that are showing video on their actual mobile sites, we're noticing actually over 9% increase in conversion on product pages for I think that's – we just did that study about a month ago for over 34 sites that we were reviewing on this. So it's – this is the kind of thing that, I think is that difference about how we have to view mobile in context is that it can have a heightened and rich experience. Another last touch point to add to that is don't think of people when you think of mobile as walking through an intersection in Disney Manhattan. The fact is that for about half of all users, they're connecting through wireless. They're probably in their office building, and they're using their phone to be able to buy something during their lunch break. or maybe when they shouldn't be buying something, but they have that high-speed mm-hmm. connection, and you should be interacting with them on that level.
Yeah. We still have some time for questions, guys, but I'm going to ask the question, another question. In your experience, where are these mobile decisions being made in an organization? I mean, I'm sure it's very much company-by-company basis, but, you know, you're definitely making a case that mobile should be, you know, a major part of your, you know, your strategy. But is it happening in, like, the e-commerce area of the company, like the IT department, I don't know, the marketing department? I mean, I don't know. What's your take on that?
Yeah. So there's two types of retailers. There's those that will put through the CMO the e-commerce responsibility, and then the other ones will put it through the CIO and CTO responsibility. Usually if you have brick-and-mortar stores, mm-hmm. you're used to the idea that it flows through the CMO. And that, you know, the legacy of that being that initially, just like having catalogs or any other print media service, web was just another means of exposure. The decision where mobile is going now, we find to be increasingly at the C-level in an organization, while it was deferred to the e-com teams prior, for exactly, because it really is going to require the CEO saying, I need to spend money on stores. I need to put this extra directive on my very busy CIO and the store ops team to make things happen. So that's where we think decisions are increasingly moving forward. We just signed a few deals. One of them was directly with the CEO of a company we're working with. And mm-hmm. we're finding that these kind of C-level presentations are really about the store problem and these legacy POS systems. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because when we started out, we always say internally that mobile initially was for many retailers was table scraps, and now it's table stakes. That basically you have this idea that they would try to find budget wherever they could, and somebody would try to make a decision if they could to just push mobile forward because they knew they needed it and their work so bad. But now everybody can simply agree that this has to occur. And if it hasn't yet, like it is for about 40% of retailers in the IR 500 that don't have any mobile presence, it's definitely coming from a very high-level, top-down approach.
And in your experience, I mean, do you feel, it seems like you've had sort of a broad experience. Do you feel that most companies are starting to get it, you know, are trying to get, or they're starting to feel as though mobile is important, or is it still a hard sell?
I don't think it's a hard sell anymore. Everyone gets its importance. What everyone wonders is how that affects their job. I mean, that's the toughest part of this, because the fact is, as retailers, we've all set up different business metrics for each team. Instead of looking how this mobile device is impacting your stores, if we could reorg the focus around just the idea that trackable sale and accrediting it to any of those groups, it's going to make this a lot easier. But it's really hard for the e-com team, which only gets credit for those comp sales, those year-over-years on the e-com desktop side more than anywhere else, to invest heavily in mobile just so they can help the stores team who has their own metrics.
Mm-hmm. I actually have another question. Sorry, I'm pumping all these out. One of the big areas for our readers is marketing and email marketing specifically. It's a huge tool for our readers and our listeners. Can you give any quick feedback on the best ways to go about emails emails on mobile devices?
So what we notice is that for some of our clients, over 75% of their email is opened on mobile devices. Those are the ones that skew more young. Yeah, those are the ones that skew more young. For the ones that a more of a norm you'd see is somewhere around that floating 40 to 60%. Where you see the majority of purchases occurring from email to mobile device are usually around limited time sales. So I would say that for Black Friday or for for Cyber Money, any of these holiday seasons, you can assume that the majority of those email open rates will occur for, if it's a limited time offer, on mobile devices. And it's all about making sure that consumers can click from any link in that email campaign and making it so that they can actually purchase that product on mobile. That seems ridiculously simple, but I can't tell you mm-hmm. how often people don't have a seamless strategy of how to conduct I experience with brands we don't work with, and I'm sure we can all agree on this, that, like, you'll click on an email, next thing you know, you go to a page that doesn't work on mobile, and you're like, why'd they do that? Or they send you to the homepage. That's step one. If you can get beyond that step one, I would say a great advice piece is to look at how you're doing, look into the idea of creating a new email template just for these special time periods of limited time sale. So you get used to using that one new template just for doing those mobilized campaigns. And if you can, more than that, if you're looking to climb the Mount Everest and making this all work, consider scrapping from your operational process line your existing templates and reorg that effort around the idea of using responsive web templates. It is possible to send email that is properly formatted for mobile devices and desktop devices alike at the same time using a responsive web template, just like responsive design works so well for the web experience. So I would say that there's a number of I think all the providers now have these responsive solutions in the place in email. It's all about people saying, okay, let's stop the assembly line, let's learn the new template. But I realize that's like an Everest for everybody. So links first and build up from there.
Yeah. We didn't really talk too much about responsive design. Maybe you could just briefly tell the listeners what that is, and, you know, just in case they're not aware of it and how it works.
Sure. So CSS and HTML and JavaScript pretty much make up the web experience today. The CSS cascading style sheets and the idea of using CSS 3 is really where the opportunity for what we call responsive design came from. The idea of using, with the new version of this idea of what you can do with CSS 3 is you're able to actually stylize the sheet in reference to many of the different device types all at the same time and make it impactful in terms of orientation, as well as take advantage of touch and swiping events. Responsive design was the concept of saying, I want to make sure that in using this, we're designing for all touch points at all times, solving one problem, solving all my problems for device parity at once. The issues with responsive design that we find today is it's never that easy. The fact is your experience on your mobile device should be different when you're around or near stores to maximize for the conversion of that use case. Mm-hmm. When they're away from stores, it makes a lot of sense to have it at parity to the desktop experience. In many ways, you want that to not only just be a responsive, seamless level of just like that from before, but you want it even more to encourage users to download the app, if possible, to get more loyalty access to that if they're a loyal user. So what I would say this about responsive design. The principles of it better be part of how you view web experience, especially on tablet devices, where responsive increasingly is going to allow for you to do cool adaption things in terms of how you make present the tablet on a horizontal or vertical level. Because we often shop like that on tablets, don't we? We shop on a horizontal experience and a vertical experience. Responsive design does not solve your issues that you're being challenged by in mobile across the board. You have to basically take every single store you have and start building a radius around it with a compass and considering what are the use cases for my consumers to get closer to home and further from store and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a really good way of looking at it. Let's see. We only have about 5 minutes, so I'm just going to ask one more question, and then I think we can wrap it up for the day. But you did mention, obviously, about sort of hot brands like Warby Parker and Bonobos, but can you just kind of give our listeners an idea of some other companies that are doing a great job on mobile, maybe more legacy-oriented companies that jump to mind, or anybody that's doing anything innovative?
Yeah, sure. I would say that to definitely not credit our own clients because that's not fair. So I'll start with other brands. Start with other brands first and take it from there. So I think that first and foremost, I really like the efforts of Nordstrom. I think that what I like about Nordstrom is that they have a great app. They've managed to make that engaging experience something that does have impact in store. So they're trying there. They have a skunkworks philosophy to things. So they have this Innovation Labs team, and they try things. If it doesn't work, they try the next thing. Mm-hmm. The other brand that I really like the experience of in that same in that same world of things is the idea of looking at Domino's. I encourage everybody. The Domino's pizza has gotten a lot better over the years, and it's not a plug for them. At the very least, use their app just to get the experience down. It's really incredible as you see the order go through the process of the further they are from their location where they're making the pizza, the closer they get to your house. It's a really great way that that side of the world of retailing to understand how mobile can be impactful on that vice versa level, closer to home, further from store. Within our customers, I would say that I really like the efforts of Sephora. They've done a great job.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
The efforts of Sephora. I think Sephora's done a really great job.
Okay, got it. Okay.
I think they've done a great job making mobile an integral part of their store experience and understanding how to make it so that you think of the phone more of as a purse and less as a utility device for purchasing so that you can keep rich information of yourself in your phone and make it so you can have a heightened store experience. I also think that Crate and Barrel really knocked out the part on their wedding registry app. The fact that I can now, they're getting rid of those big clunky in-store scanners and replacing them with these sleek mobile apps make it so that their store footprint's better and they're doing the right thing in terms of making the crediting of the sale the priority rather than what channel gets recognition for the sale.
Great. Those are great examples. Okay, well, with that, I think we're going to end it. So thank you so much, Chris, for your great insight and your great way. You know, you really did a great job of explaining a lot of complicated stuff to our listeners, so I really appreciate that. So on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Avalara, I want to thank the listeners for attending the session. And if you're interested in discussing anything other than what you heard during the presentation, we encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge to chat live with other session attendees. It's still going on over there, so you can check it out. Please also visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. We really, really appreciate that. And remember, if you missed anything today, the entire virtual show will be archived. The on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting on Monday, July 22nd. So have a great day, everybody, and thanks a lot for listening.